Tonight I want to look at another element in prayer that I believe will help us in our prayer life, and maybe look at another element or two or three. But I want to begin tonight looking down in verse number 10. The Bible said here, "And all mine are thine." Jesus is praying now. He's talking to the Father. This is not a what you would call a model prayer. This is an actual prayer. Somebody had to have heard this in order for it to be recorded. And somebody, you know, it's the verse Brother Steve read, it said they heard him pray in a certain place, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples. He said here, "All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me." I want you to notice tonight in verse number 10, the element of possession. Jesus said, "All mine are thine." I believe tonight when we pray, we ought to remember who we belong to, that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price, and that God wants us in his presence, and God wants us to spend time with him. The Bible said, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I want to say this tonight. I'm not going to park there. But beloved, what goes on in our body is important, just as what goes on in our spirit is important. You find people today that want to say, "Well, God knows my heart." Yes, he does. But people probably see a whole lot more of your body than they do your heart. God sees your heart. So God said we need to glorify him in our body and in our spirit, which are the Lord's. And then the Bible said here, if you notice in Psalm 74, he said, "Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old." How many's glad tonight somebody was willing to pay the price to get you out of the slave market of sin, amen, and get you to where that you could understand your need of him. "He purchased of old the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelled." In Acts chapter 8 and verse 20, the Bible said, "Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." And I want you to know tonight, you and I were not purchased with money. We were purchased with blood. The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 20, "Take heed therefore to yourselves, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." I believe these thoughts, it's my prayer tonight that these thoughts will help us in our prayer life when we bow our knee to realize we're not our own. The one we're talking to, we belong to. He's bought us. He owns us. Glory to God, I made a mess when I owned myself. Say amen. I'm glad somebody else bought me and paid the price for my liberty and my freedom. The Bible said, I didn't realize this. If I did, I'd forgotten it. But the Bible said, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." And then it says, "A peculiar people." Now, the way that we use that word peculiar today would just mean odd or different. There's something different about us. And I want to say this, that does fit, because the Bible said of the children of Israel that God had made a difference between them and the children of the world, or the heathen that are in the world. But the word here, when you look at the word peculiar, it goes with the word acquisition. God acquired us. Preservation. He preserves us. He obtained us. He purchased us. He possessed us. And he saved us by his grace. That's what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about a peculiar people. We're a people tonight that are born again. We that are born again are a people that Jesus paid the price for. on the cross of Calvary. That's a blessing to me tonight. By the way, beloved, one of you want to go back in prayer, go back there. And the Word of God said when Jesus died on that cross, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And now the Bible said we have access into the holiest of all. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. A element of possession. I don't know about you tonight, but I love my youngins. I love my grand youngins. They're my youngins. You know what I believe? There's a Father in heaven says they're my youngins. Glory to God. I believe that's why the devil's on a leash. Somebody say amen. Anything that comes in our life from him has to run across God's desk. And if it goes across God's desk, then God has a purpose in mind in helping us to be more like his darling son. Then tonight, not only is there the element of possession in prayer, but I want you to look at verse number 11 and look at the element of his presence. The Bible said, now I am no more in the world. You say, preacher, Jesus said I'm no more in the world, but he's right here talking. How many understands that when Jesus is prophesying or when the Bible is prophesying, he's looking at it like it's already done. He's facing the cross. He's facing the beloved, the scourging. He's facing the mocking. He's facing the beating. He's facing the spitting. But in his mind, it's already, it's like when the Bible said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, it was not an afterthought. It was already done. When man sinned in the garden, provision had already been made, amen, that man could be forgiven. And here the Word of God's talking about his presence. He said, now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. See, Jesus is speaking in a tense here, like it's already done. He said, preacher, I don't understand where you see God's presence in this. Well, let me help you tonight. He said, if I go away, what'd he say? I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you one just like, hey, listen to me tonight. Listen to me. One of the things about prayer that's misunderstood today is you can't do it without him. It's only the Holy Ghost of God that can take a man's heart to God's heart and commune with God's heart. The absence of the Holy Spirit means, beloved, that the prayer is going no further than the ceiling. But the Holy Ghost, amen, leads us in supplication and takes our prayers into the very presence of God. That's a blessing tonight, his presence. Brother John, I thought about you this afternoon when I looked at this. You made a statement, I believe, one morning in Sunday school. There have been times when I've prayed. And there's been times when I've prayed. Have you said something like that in Sunday school, brother? Are you nodding your head up and down? I can't see you. Okay, brother. Oh, you're talking. I can't hear you. Nod your head up and down. I got a better chance. Amen. Amen. You know what Brother John's saying right there, I think, when I got to thinking about my own life? There's times when you pray and you don't sense his presence. How many's with me tonight? But honey, there's other times you don't get two words out and he floods your soul. You know that you're meeting with God and God's meeting with you. And let me just say this tonight. That's what makes all the difference in the world, is to know that the God of heaven, my friend, is listening. And not only that, prayer is kind of a two-way street. He'll talk some too, won't he? We'll get to listen to him along the way. There's the element of his presence. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. That's a blessing tonight to know that the Spirit of God came into this world. You know, I believe tonight he's kind of longing to get home too. Say amen. I really do. He's going to usher the church out of here one day. Now let's look tonight at another element in prayer. I pray that these things would cause us to want to pray and cause us to want to get in his presence and seek his face. Watch what verse 13 said. He said, now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Watch this now. I want to look at the element of his purpose. What's the purpose of prayer? Well, there are many things that you could say, but Jesus is coming across something right here that I think is bold and plain. Jesus wants us to be full of joy. Amen. Let me just say something to you tonight. You find somebody that's full of joy. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness can be determined by a good birthday present or a good Christmas present. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about something that goes on down on the inside. I'm talking about something money can't buy. You find a person that's full of joy, and you'll find a person that's having the purpose of God fulfilled in their life. And you'll find somebody, beloved, that's communing with God on a regular basis, somebody that's talking to the Lord, somebody that believes in prayer and practices prayer. Watch this now. He said, I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them. Now, this doesn't make sense. How can you have joy when somebody's hating you? I'm going to tell you how. Your joy as a God's people, as a child of God, your joy is not determined by what's going on around you. Your joy is determined by what's going on in you. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. It ought to thrill you and I tonight. It does me that the likes of him would even be interested in listening to the likes of me. And somebody said one time they went to a church, an old-fashioned church, and they went in, they had an altar prayer, and people were just calling on God everywhere. And the lady told the church after, the pastor after church said, it kind of made me nervous. She said, I couldn't understand the thing they were saying. And the pastor said, honey, they weren't talking to you. I'm talking about a God that can hear millions or billions or trillions, if it was necessary, of prayers at the same time. Amen. A God that is bigger than the universe. Spoke it all into place. Can hear our prayer. The element of purpose. He said, I've given them thy word. The world has hated them. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is the purpose that Jesus is talking about here? Let me just give you three things quickly. Joy comes from the word. The Bible said here, I have given them thy word. Let me ask you something. How many of you all remember when you courted? The one you got your arm around right now is not your wife, she is your girlfriend. You was wishing she'd be your wife just any day now. How many remembers that? Some of you ain't got enough memory to go back that far, have you? Amen. Well, let me ask you something. Now, this wasn't joy, this was happiness, but if you got a letter from them, did you open it? Just lay it over and say, well, I'll get to that sometime. Set a cup of coffee on it. Lay a grilled cheese sandwich on it. No, you wouldn't dare do that. Amen. There was a summer, one summer, praise God, just one summer, after I met Miss Eve that we were apart. My phone bills were $260 a month, and hers were too. It's cheaper to move back and get a place. Say amen. I mean that. Amen. Let me say something to you tonight. When I got something in the mail, I opened it. I didn't lay it over to the side. Can I tell you something tonight, child of God? You've got something in the mail. God has sent you a letter. God has said, I love you. God has said, I love what Brother Grizzly said. Everything you need is right here in this book. God has said tonight over and over and over, Genesis to Revelation, come and just sit down with me. I believe joy comes through the word. That's why Jesus said right here, if you look at it, he said, I have given them thy word. There's no other way to have that joy fulfilled in themselves. It comes through the word. Second thing I want to give you is this. Joy does not come from the world. Jesus said, I'm not praying that you'll take them out of the world, but you'll keep them from the evil. A lot of people have never figured out where joy does not come from. Joy does not come from Kmart or Walmart. Joy does not come from anything this world has to offer. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, listen, there are men tonight in our town that are trying to get over a sick headache right now because of stuff they put in their body all weekend, trying to get in shape where they can go back to, and there's people in this building that know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. And we were looking for joy in all the wrong places. Amen. Thank God, along come Jesus. Jesus will give you joy. Jesus said, you can have it in the Word. It's not going to come from the world. But why does joy come? Do you remember over in the book of Psalms when David gets his heart right with God? Nathan has come now, and Nathan has told him the story about the little ewe lamb, and what he's describing is a parable that describes exactly what David did to Uriah when he took his wife Bathsheba. That's what Nathan's doing. And then at the end of that, Nathan just gives him the whole spill of beans. He said, thou art the man. He gave David the rope. My daddy used to say this. I'll never forget it. He said, son, if you'll give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. And Nathan just kept giving David the rope. David said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. Amen. And Nathan, that man of God, said, thou art the man. Boy, I tell you what a friend Nathan was to David, willing to stand up, knowing it might have even cost him his life. And I want to tell you something tonight. You go to Psalm chapter number 51, David's repenting. He said, against thee only have I done this sin in thy sight. God created me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. You go on over there, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That was a different dispensation. We know that. And then he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see, David's prayer life, it wasn't right when he sent for Bathsheba. Somebody help me. David's Bible life, what did he tell us in Psalms? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Honey, when David sent for Bathsheba, he was walking in a dark place. He wasn't walking in a well-lit place. So David had laid his Bible down. David had stopped praying. You say, preacher, you can't say that. I believe I can. Because I believe if David would have been in communion with God when that servant came and said, it's not this Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. I believe David would have backed up a half a step and said, you know what, you're right. Thank you for reminding me of that. But he went headlong into that sin and then went headlong into a cover-up. Now David's joy is gone. Now David's communion's gone. His fellowship is gone. As far as he's concerned, he's even in danger of being like Saul, Brother Brian, when the Bible talked about the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And he's repenting in Psalm 51. And he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What David lost was not his relationship, but he lost his fellowship with God. And he said, then, listen to me carefully, will I teach transgressors thy ways? I believe it's impossible for us to have the influence that we're supposed to have. Brother Steve, you go down there and I don't care if you take 5 or you take 50 crock pots of chili. You take 5 people with you or you take 50 people with you. And all of you's got this smirk on your face and wish I could be somewhere else and slinging chili at them. You'll never make a difference in their life. And I know it won't be that way. But when you've got a smile and you've got the love of God shed abroad in your heart and you're just glad that it's not you that's homeless and glad it's not you that somebody's having to prepare a meal for, glad it's not your children that are hungry. It's glad it's not your children that's just excited over a pack of chewing gum in a bag. Then, beloved, you have the joy of the Lord. And you can make a difference in somebody else's life. Watch this now. You say, preacher, I don't see where this came from in this prayer. Well, I'll help you if I can. Watch this now. And look at verse 18. The Bible said, as thou hast sent me into the world. How many believe that Jesus was sent into the world to make a difference? Brother Larry, I don't care. You can take the most heathen historian in the world, but he'd have to admit when that man showed up, it made a difference. Amen. It made a difference. It made a difference. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with us? Watch what he said here. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now, wait a minute. Somebody might say, now, preacher, you know he's praying for his disciples there. That's right. But how many knows it over in the prayer just a little further? We'll get to it after a while. He said, I pray not for these alone, but for all them who through these shall believe. How many knows that's right there in the Bible? So what does that mean? That means that this prayer that you and I are examining and thinking about the thought, Lord, teach us to pray, that means that our Savior, when he was praying that day, was not just praying for his disciples, was not just praying, beloved, for those believers in that day, but was praying for you and praying for me. And if you'll examine the book of Hebrews, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Aren't you glad he's still sitting there tonight making intercession for you and for me? Now, wait a minute. Preacher, you said here that joy comes from the Word. Yes, it does. Joy does not come from the world. No, it doesn't. And why does joy come? David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He uses a four-letter word, then. You remember it? Will I teach transgressors thy ways? What David is saying now, Lord, if you'll give me my joy back, I can go back to living the way I used to live, and I can make a difference in somebody else's life. That's what he's saying. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. And then he said this, and sinners will be converted unto thee. Now I'm going to ask a question tonight. Is it possible? Now listen, I'm just asking it in a question form. Is it possible that the reason we don't see more people saved than we see saved is we don't have more joy than we have? And then we don't have more joy than we have because we've forgotten where the joy comes from. Yeah. We're looking for it in all the wrong places. Yeah. Is anybody with me tonight? I want to read you something tonight. I trust this will be a blessing to you. I don't know how far I get, but I thought this was wonderful, because when you're talking about being a witness, joy comes that we might be a witness. Sometimes all that people can think about is maybe just preaching to somebody or just, you know, getting in somebody's face and telling them that they need Jesus. But I read this and it blessed my heart. If I've shared it before, you forgive me, but I guarantee you there's people here tonight, even if I shared it before, that didn't hear it. The phone rang and I greeted a young pastor friend from Arlington, Virginia. What are you doing? He asked. He said, studying. Nothing special. He said, are you sitting down? He said, yes. Why? He said, your father just trusted Christ this evening. Please listen to this. It'll take me a minute or two. He said, what? You've got to be kidding. Such an inappropriate response grew out of long detours in our father-son journey. Ever since I received Christ as a boy, my concern has been for the salvation of my family and my loved ones. On repeated occasions, I had broached the subject of the gospel with Dad, but his response was less than excited. My father's always been a very important person to me. Not that I approved of everything he said or did or imitated him consciously in any way. We weren't really close friends either. But he was important in my life because of the indirect impact he made upon me. Dad was a military man. He had seen action around the world. During the periods when he was embroiled in battle, I would become very sensitive to his spiritual need. I and my family prayed for him. But at times, I'm afraid my faith sputtered. His response was always the same. Son, don't worry about me. I'll work it out with God. He said, as if God could be manipulated like a Pentagon official. God brought a man into my life, a man with a passion for men. His name was Butch Hardman. One day before we knew each other, Butch was boarding a plane in Detroit when a friend handed him a cassette tape. Ever hear Hendrix? Here's a tape you should listen to. On that tape, I related my father's spiritual need. Butch listened. And something about the antidote reminded him of his own father, with whom he had shared Christ shortly before he died. He began to pray for this unknown man, George Hendrix. Some months later, Butch attended a pastor's conference in Philadelphia where I was the speaker. He shook my hand afterward. That was the only time our paths crossed before a remarkable incident in Arlington. Butch was driving the church bus down the street. Having discharged all of his passengers, he saw a man standing on the corner who reminded him uncannily of Howard Hendricks. Could it possibly be? He backed up the bus. He stopped, he got off, and he went over to the man. He said, "Are you by any chance Howard Hendricks' father?" It's easy to imagine the startled response that he said, "Yeah, you a student of my son?" He said, "No, I'm not, but he sure has helped me. Got time for a cup of coffee?" That encounter began a friendship skillfully engineered by the Spirit of God. Butch undoubtedly sensed Dad's hesitancy when he discovered that he had met a preacher. For a long time, Butch did not invite him to attend church. He simply suggested that Dad drop by the office for coffee. Patiently, he endured Dad's cigars, an endless repertoire of war stories. Before long, he had learned that Dad had been diagnosed as having terminal throat cancer. Months later, Butch was at his bedside. "Mr. Hendricks, I'll be leaving shortly for a Holy Land trip. Instead of my listening to you tonight, would you let me tell you a story?" Butch had earned his hearing, and he began simply to relate the interview of Jesus Christ with Nicodemus, as recorded by the Apostle John. At the conclusion, Dad accepted Butch's invitation to receive Christ as his own personal Savior. Then Dad got out of bed, stood, and saluted with a smile. He said, "Now I'm under a new commander-in-chief." That night, Butch called Dallas. The last time I saw Dad alive, I could not believe he was the same man I had known. His frame was wasted. His spirit was more virile than I had ever known. In accordance with Dad's specific provision in his will, Butch Hardman conducted the crisp military funeral in Arlington Cemetery, where the gospel of Jesus Christ was presented to a small group of family and military attendants. As the guns saluted their final farewell, I knew God had vindicated, 42 years of prayer. That man had been praying for his dad. I will say something to you tonight. I'm trying to be led of the Holy Ghost. Beloved, listen, witnesses not always just walking up to somebody and the first time you meet them, giving them the gospel. That might be sometime, give them the gospel or give them a tract or invite them to church. But you know something? A cup of coffee sometimes might go a long way. Just a friend, just an ear. I got to thinking, Brother Wayne, I'm not trying to build you up. I'm trying to build up Jesus. Brother Wayne has been to visit over and over and over and over. I'm talking about Brother Wayne Sanders back there in the back with Tim. Just went by and went by and went by and went by. I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. Listen, we ought to get to the place where we don't care who wins them, just so we see them won for the glory of God. Amen. And there's a witness here that's birthed in prayer that Jesus is talking about. He said, "Lord, just like you sent me." You say, "Preacher, Jesus made a difference." I can't make a difference. What did Jude say? Beloved, keep yourselves in the love of God. You won't do that without prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I'm getting that exactly right or not. It's over there in the book of Jude. Keep yourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. I can't get it, so I'll take it over and read it. But listen, I wish I could get that. Jude chapter, you know what chapter. Verse 20. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Yes, sir, you and I are left here in this world to make a difference in somebody else's life along the way. Might be somebody that's a close friend. It might be somebody that's an absolute stranger. You know, tonight, I don't know what the people in North Carolina and maybe parts of South Carolina are going through. But I tell you, I know there's some of them that need a friend. They need somebody. I'm going to tell you, lost people everywhere need a friend. Let me tell you something else. The saints of God, many of them are carrying heavy burdens, and they just need a friend. And Jesus said, Father, as you sent me, that's exactly how I'm sending them. Now, wait a minute. If I understand anything at all about this, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm going to shut it down here tonight. Jesus is teaching us, Brother Sam, that he couldn't do it without the Father's help. He's even the Son of God walking the face of the earth. He's teaching us, I had to get alone. I had to come apart. I had to spend some time with my Father in order to make the difference. That he's given us a perfect example that you and I might follow in his steps. And I believe it pleases God tonight. You know, this is what's in my heart for the invitation. What if we came tonight? What if we came? What if we came tonight and asked God, Lord, would you put one person in my path this week? What if we got up every morning? What if we got up on Monday morning and said, God, I'm open to your will. Lord, help me this day to be sent. How many of you all know that we run right past his will lots of times? We're so busy. We've got an agenda. We've got a schedule to keep. We got to be from point A to point B. How many would say tonight, Pastor, I'm going to give God my schedule. And if he wants to interrupt it right here and me to say a word or help somebody across the street or open the door for somebody or say a kind word or give a gospel tract, give one of the cards, invite them to the house of God or sit down and just buy them a cup of coffee. How many believes we ought to be sensitive to his will? There have been times in my life when I've been very sensitive. There have been times in my life when I've been very insensitive. Somebody help me tonight. I believe tonight what God is saying is if we pray, teach us to pray. The Son of God couldn't make it. What if we come tonight, just gathered in the altar? I'm not trying to make something up, but what if we just came and said, God, surely, there must be one person this week. Maybe somebody says, Lord, I get out every day. I mean, my job, my family, it takes me from here to there every day. It might be a flat tire. I know we're living in a dangerous world. Don't you get me wrong. I realize that and I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, if we'd be sensitive to the Lord, I believe he'll take care of us, don't you? I really do. I believe he'll take care of us. That man broke in on John R. Rice in that motel, stuck that pistol up in his face, and John R. said, you can't scare me with heaven, son. He knew he was in God's will. Brother Ralph, I'll never forget this as long as I live. Somebody asked an old preacher, said, if you knew Jesus was coming today, what would you change? That old preacher said nothing. I went to bed walking with God. I went through the night by the grace of God. I got up this morning walking with God. Oh, to live like that. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. What if we came tonight? You know, hands went up everywhere this morning. I have a loved one. I have a friend. What if we came and said, Lord, would you present the opportunity? How many knows your own people are the hardest people in the world to talk to? How many's ever figured that out? Amen. But I'm going to tell you what. Bob, you've mentioned a burden to me for your sister. It might not be you, but God sends somebody. When Bob's praying, God can send somebody that's sensitive to that sister. God can send somebody to that brother. That mother, that father, that son, that daughter, God can send somebody. And I believe that, don't you? Amen. So may tonight we think about the message in that the Bible said here, Lord, teach us to pray. May we tonight think about the purpose of prayer. Here's what a lot of people think. They think that prayer is to get man's will done in heaven. That's backwards. Prayer, Brother Larry, is to get God's will done on earth. It ain't to get our will done. That's why I'm being honest with you. If there's anything in the religious realm that makes me sick, it's people that teach that you just march into the presence of God and tell Him what to do. Last time I looked at it, Brother Rose, He's the shepherd. And I'm one of His sheep. And if I know anything about shepherding and sheep, the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. And we need Him to lead the way. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You tonight for the time that we've had together. Lord, it's a blessing tonight to be saved, to have access into the holiest of all. We can learn a lot from Jesus. As I've studied, Lord, this chapter, it makes me just want to say with His disciples, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, what a blessing that You chose to leave these words recorded for us. Lord, we thank You tonight.